broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Police say Father Alexius was merely lost and asking for help when he pulled into...
Well, it makes me think of my grandfather who served at Anzio in World
War II.
He
had just been squatting and stood up. And, it, you know, if you've ever been out to one of our ranges, like a...
Put your hands on your back. Put your hands behind your back.
George Bush doesn't care about
Syria.
Cat urine!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch here. And where, through the looking glass, we go each and every night on our trek toward wherever the hell it is we're going, man. Just a good time, really, is all we're looking to have. Coming up this hour, we have Jeff Dowder. Jeff is a gamer. He's going to be talking with us about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Also later in the program, a man gets tasered six times. We wanted to talk to you about that last night, but, you know, can't have, couldn't load the night up with a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that would have been great, though.
All right, well, maybe we'll get to it tonight. And the Vatican looks for aliens. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, before we get... Jeff Dowder on the phone here, and he is a competitive gamer, and by that I mean these video games, Xbox, so forth, PlayStation, 360. You know the games. If you have kids, and if you play them yourself, you know what I'm talking about. This new game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, or as it is known out on the street, Call of Duty 4. This is obviously one in a series of games called Call of Duty. And it's very graphic. One of the scenes that appeared online and was prominent on YouTube has to do with the player, joining a group of terrorists as they walk into an airport and gun down. And let me tell you, obviously the graphics and the animation has gotten so good that you'd swear to God you're looking at a film of some kind, or you're looking at an actual videotape or filmed reenactment by living actors. It's you. Sometimes you do a double take. Is these real people? Or this animated? Is this an animated clip? In this clip from Call of Duty 4, the player kills civilians in a Russian airport in this very controversial scene. The general idea, you're getting the general idea there. That is a graphic scene, and those are, you can hear the screams of civilians as these terrorists, these men with these automatic weapons, move through this security line after killing everybody in the security line. They move on down toward the gate section, and they're just basically shooting everything that moves, including people who are obviously wounded, attempting to get back to their feet, and they're gunned down and killed. Joining us from Temple City, California, is Jeff Dowder. Jeff's familiar with this game and other games in this particular genre. Jeff, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah, I'm very happy to do it. I'm happy to maybe possibly clear up some misconceptions.
All right. Well, what am I missing about this game?
Well, I think what's been missed by the media in general on this game is that it affords those of us who may have a political point of view that's sympathetic, and, you know, if we can just sort of lift the judgment from this for just a second and look at this from an objective point of view, if there's people that are sympathetic to the political aim, say, of so-called terrorists, you can engage as a terrorist, if you see terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but you are not willing to you know, encounter the military or police, or to deal with civilian, you know, police authority. So you're able to practice the political tool of terrorism, and at the same time, and do it on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, the same way any other terrorist, if I can use that word, would do it. And you do not have to suffer the intrusion or the action of police authority. And so,
are you saying that you agree with the use of terrorism?
I don't agree with the use of terrorism. I agree with the use of terrorism. I'm not willing, personally, to be engaged by police.
So you agree with the killing of innocent human beings?
I'm not willing to say that, no. I'm willing to say that I have long been an admirer of the idea of terrorism as a political tool.
Well, if you say that you're an admirer of terrorism as a political tool...
But Mr. Rainer, I didn't really come on your program to talk politics. I came on your program to talk about this game, you know.
Yeah, but you made a statement that underlies your argument here, that you have a admiration for the use of terrorism.
I said I admire it as a political tool. I did not say that I am willing to go out and practice terrorism as it's currently practiced, because I like to think that I'm smarter than most terrorists. The problem with terrorists, obviously, is that they kill themselves in the process, and they get if they don't, they get arrested and they're incarcerated for the rest of their lives, and that to me is not intelligent. I think for the very first time in the history of certainly of gaming, and the first time in the history of modern society, we're able to move terrorism up a notch and make it something that you survive, that you're able to affect the terrorist aim, and you don't get arrested by the police. So that's an evolution, you know. And to say that I admire terrorists, I don't admire terrorists today because they wind up, like I said, either getting killed or they wind up going to jail.
Other than that, you're fine with what they do.
Well, it's hard to be fine with what they do when it essentially fails. With Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, this is an evolution of terrorism that allows you to practice terrorism and not be arrested for it. And you saw yourself, Mr. Henry, that clip. The realism of it is hard to argue with, and it obviously scared people that saw it, and I'm sure that it even scared some of the people in your audience that heard it. And so that tells me that, you know, this is very effective. And what we're able to do with this game is practice terrorism and again, avoid the detection of police action or obvious mortal wound that is going to, end your life.
All right, what do you say to people who say to you that you're not practicing terrorism at all? You're a guy sitting playing a game.
I would invite them to sit down with me and watch me play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and walk out of that room feeling like they haven't been terrorized, because they will. And I can only tell you this, Mr. Henry, people that say that, they haven't seen, they haven't seen Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I mean, these guys go into the airport, they gun down everybody in sight, and you're terrorized by it.
Well, how do you, if you say that you like the idea of terrorism, you just don't want to be arrested by the police, how do you terrorize somebody playing Call of Duty?
Well, that's a very common question, and I know a lot of people that ask it generally are very condescending when they ask it, but I can tell you this right now, and you can trust me on this. If you came over to my house on a Saturday morning, okay, and you sat down on my couch next to me while I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, maybe level 2, you would be terrorized.
And how am I going to be terrorized, man?
Because you're watching me gunning down innocent human beings in the most realistic way that has ever been put into a game, and it's unrelenting. The effects are real.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeff, it doesn't sound like something that's going to terrorize me.
Well, it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to say, but that's why I'm one of the top gamers, because when I play Modern Warfare, you know, 2, it will terrorize you. And the other thing is, when you ask me how do you terrorize people, if I stand in a Federal Express office, or I'm standing in line to go see a movie over at the Montclair 5, or I'm with my girlfriend at Macy's or something, and I say, while she's buying perfume or she's getting pantyhose or something, and I say, yeah, I killed 35 civilians at a Russian airport yesterday, I can guarantee you, that...
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, well, I can guarantee you that the people within earshot are going to be terrorized and the effect be real, okay? So...
All right, but what you're telling me is the way you terrorize people with Call of Duty 4 is by having me come to your house and sit down and watch you play the game.
Well, you know, you're making it sound like I'm inviting you over to have, you know, pancakes. That's not what... You're going to be terrorized. And again, for the gamer, for me, who does see the terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but I'm smarter than the average terrorist because I want to live and I don't want to be in prison in Yemen, you know, or something like that, you know, Mr. Henry?
Right.
I can use this game and affect the same kind of a political outcome and not suffer those consequences.
Well, I have to get back and ask Jeff here in a moment, what political gains will he make playing Call of Duty 4? It's a very violent game. This is Jeff Dowder on the line with us, who's a gamer, who says he believes in the idea of terrorism as a political tool. He just doesn't like the idea of police intervention. But by playing Call of Duty 4, which shows very graphically people being murdered in an airport, you can be a terrorist and still remain alive and out of police custody. 877, so I guess the question here, Bud, is, you know, can you actually be what you think you're being when you're playing a game?
In a lot of ways you can, because people laugh at that, but you can. You do become and have the skills of those people in a game and everything.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Talking about Call of Duty 4, a violent, violent video game that's been released. It shows graphic terrorist violence. Jeff Dowder is our guest. He's a big fan of this game. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
There's a lot of things you can do, you know, other than just sit and have flapjacks.
Jeff Dowder joins us. He is a gamer, and he's a big fan of Call of Duty 4. It is called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, actually, but it's known as Call of Duty 4. And this is a very graphic video game that has a segment of violence, terrorist violence, where Russian terrorists go into an airport and kill everyone in sight. And it's very graphic. It is extremely vivid. You have said that you believe terrorism, Jeff, is a legitimate political tool. You like the idea of being a terrorist, but you just don't want to be arrested. And so this game does everything that a terrorist can do, but you don't get arrested. What about killing people?
Well, what do you mean, what about killing people? I mean, you're not killing people.
No, but I mean in real life, if you've got no problem with terrorism, have you got a problem with killing people?
You know, Mr. Henry, that's a trick. No, I don't have a problem with killing people. I mean, I am not a person who is comfortable with blood. But that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people. You need to understand something. There's a difference. I do have phobias like we all do, but I would be happy to kill people, but I do have, and I'm saying that, I know that your audience would take exception to that. I'm saying as a pure terrorist, if I was a pure terrorist, then I would, but I don't want to get arrested.
Right? But if you weren't going to get arrested, do you have a problem with killing people?
Well, if I wasn't going to get arrested, then it wouldn't be against the law and I wouldn't have to do it, would I?
But do you have a problem with killing people?
I just said to you, if I admire terrorism as a political tool, no, I don't. But the Call of Duty 4 is superior to terrorism that we know about because it's virtual and yet you still create terror. Okay?
So, well, what is this thing about you not wanting, you have a phobia against blood?
I know what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to discredit me in the gaming world. Because
no, I'm not trying to discredit anything. You said that you admire terrorism as a...
I have what is called hemophobia, which is a fear of massive amounts of blood. That, however, that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people.
So you'd kill people if they didn't bleed?
You know, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit me in the gaming world, that's fine.
No, but I think I'm being logical. You would kill people if they didn't bleed.
I have no fear of killing people. And if you saw me in Call of Duty 4, you'd see that I am relentless and ruthless. I slaughter everybody in the airport. I slaughter them and slaughter them. I keep on slaughtering them. I got no fear. And if you saw me, you'd be terrorized by it. Okay?
But you won't do it in real life because you don't want to get arrested and you're afraid of blood.
I'm not afraid of it. I have a problem with it. And I'll tell you one other thing. You can say all you want about whether you think I'm, you know, afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. This is a way better way of terrorism. Because you can terrorize. A kid comes over to your house on a Saturday morning. He gets terrorized. Within 5 minutes, he's out the door, okay? And you can terrorize at a... At, like I said, my girlfriend was buying a cage for her cat at a pet store. And I terrorized the people in the pet store just by saying that I'd slaughtered, you know, all these people in Russia. So these are things that you don't think about and your audience doesn't think about. These are mind images that are very, very real and are placed into the mind of the people that you're around.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what? I mean, you know, you go, oh, yeah, okay.
No, I find your excuses and your explanations to be a little bit bizarre, but let's go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Charleston, South Carolina. Michael, you're on with Jeff Dowder here as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I got a question for you.
I'm good.
If you can't differentiate between reality and a gaming world, how can you have a valid opinion? You have to realize that there's a reset button. In the real world where everybody else lives, there's no reset button. You can play whatever video game you want, but at the end of the day, when you're playing video games, there's a reset button. You can pretend
what's
to be a
the point of terrorism? What's the point of terrorism?
Former. You can pretend to be a dragon in the third level of whatever universe you decide to create in a video game. But so the rest of us, the 9-to-5 working every day, people that aren't gamers, as you'd call them, no, the people that actually run this country, that make this country work and make it great, and give you the freedom to have the day off to play video games all day, we can differentiate between when we're playing video games and when we're associating with real, actual people.
If you were terrorized, though, by Call of Duty, you would be terrorized. You'd be terrorized by it.
I could sit in your living room on a Saturday afternoon and watch your television and watch you pretend to kill people on your TV, and that's just... That's silly. That's not terrorism.
No. That's what I'm saying about this game. Yeah, but you don't understand about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That's why I'm saying it's a step above. It's a step up. If you've seen the graphics,
a game.
You can say, yeah. Hey, you want to know something, man? Life is
just
life.
Well, aren't real? That's just a game, man.
No, I mean, yeah, and you know what I could also say? Your life is just your life. I could dismiss that.
It's just
my
life. You're right.
You know that your life is, you know your life's got more involved than just me saying it's your life. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm saying to you that in Modern Warfare 2, you would be terrorized if you came over to my house like
any Saturday morning.
And I'd love to
sit on your couch on a Saturday and watch you play your silly video game.
Really? Really?
Yes,
you'd want to be terrorized.
How do you know that this man would be terrorized?
Well,
there's no way you could possibly terrorize me watching your television. I'm sorry. That's
no,
like
you're not
going to play a Friday the 13th movie and scare me with it. It's just on the TV. It's not
no,
real,
no,
man.
Different. It's different,
it's not
man.
Real.
I am operating. Friday the 13th is different because that's a film, man. Friday the 13th is different. It's a movie. I'm talking about an interactive game where I'm terrorizing
game.
You. I'm slaughtering. Oh, really?
Difference,
okay.
Man. huge difference.
Let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you just one question, then. Okay, let me ask you one question, man. So you'd be okay with seeing people get slaughtered before your eyes? Okay, yeah, sure.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah, he is. He's saying he's cool with that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. All right, thank you, sir. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder on Modern Warfare 2 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Jeff Dowder, who is a gamer from Temple City, California, as we talk about a very controversial new video game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It is known colloquially among gamers as Call of Duty 4. The reason why we're bringing this up, and I would suggest if you don't know the game, you can go to YouTube. There's a very graphic sequence from the game. We played the audio from it. And when I say graphic, it's appalling, really. These are some terrorists, Russian terrorists, allegedly, who walk into an airport and cut down everybody in sight with these automatic weapons. It's graphic in the sense that you see people trying to get up, and they're killed as they try to get up. I mean, it's every kind of nightmare one can imagine in a scene like that. And, Mr. Dowder, you've said some things here that, to say that they're controversial, you say that you admire terrorism as a political tool. You say that you admire terrorists using it, and yet you don't want to go out and kill people or to be arrested. You would rather do this through this video game, which you say can terrorize people equally.
Come over to my house on a Saturday. My sister's getting her ears pierced on Saturday by 10 o'clock. You come over, sit down, and watch as I go to work. I mean, I do some serious chopping. My gaming tag is Audie Murphy, and I'm known in game rooms just about everywhere. People know that I'm serious, and I go in and I do some serious chopping. And for people to laugh at me and say that, you're not living in the real world, you'll be terrorized. You played the clip, and you said that it was disturbing. Okay.
I would think that's a long way from being terrorized.
Well, now you're just qualifying it, and you're playing a semantical game. You said that it was disturbing, so you were terrorized just by the clip that you saw. If you saw me, I slaughter everything in sight. And when I say that I don't want to go to jail, okay, I don't want to go to jail. I don't even think terrorists want to go to jail. And the only reason why I don't want to go to jail, and I'll tell you very honestly, is because I've got a phobia about, going number two in front of other inmates. I mean, it sounds silly.
You don't want to go to jail because you don't want to go to bathroom in front of other inmates, but it has nothing to do with being incarcerated?
No, I don't care. I don't care about losing my freedom for the things that I believe in. And to the question of why I don't kill real people, I do have a fear of blood, but it's not because I don't want to kill people. In the game, Call of Duty 4, there's a lot of blood, and I suck it up. And there are times when I am getting faint, and where I do feel like I'm going to throw up or faint. But I go through it, and I go through it.
Well, if you go through it in the game, why not go through it in real life?
The only difference is the smell. There's no smell of, they don't have any smell-o-vision or anything on Call of Duty, but the fact is,
so you'd go out and you'd kill human beings if you didn't have a fear of blood and if you did not have a fear of going to the bathroom in front of other inmates. Is this what you're saying?
Again, you are trying to discredit me in the eyes of other gamers. I said to you that this is a terrorist. Terrorism is a legitimate political tool.
No, I'm not trying to. I'm using your words. I'm repeating your words back to you. That terrorism is a legitimate political tool, as you just said. That killing people, I assume, is a legitimate political tool.
Yeah, but you didn't remember the thing that I said about 20 minutes ago, which makes it all make sense. And that is, this game, Call of Duty, is a way more superior way of terrorizing somebody than to go in and actually do it. But all I can tell you is, and the guy that was on the phone the last time, go ahead, man. I dare you to come over to my house and watch me go to work in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
will be terrorized.
You will, yes, you will, and you can laugh about it, but yeah, you'll be fully terrorized.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Jeff Dowder here about Call of Duty 4, which is a graphic game to the point where he says people who watch other people play it will be terrorized. Dave, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I'm sorry, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Phil, I think it's actually, I think it's a bit ridiculous to be claiming that some sort of game is some sort of reality. To be under the assumption that
I already went through this with the other guy. What didn't you hear, man? It's total reality.
Well,
it's total reality.
That,
I mean, I just went through this with from South Carolina. This dude from South Carolina had a better question than you, and you're in Boston.
Well, yeah, I can only tell you that
most of the people that have watched me play this game, you know, are terrorized.
It doesn't necessarily matter where you're at.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and tell me, what is that again, man, about how it's just a game? Because I already went through it.
Well, the guy's asking the question on his own. Let him ask.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's your question? What's your question?
It's not really a question. It's more of a statement than anything, and I think it's a reality.
That you heard the other guy make. Yeah, go ahead.
Will you let this guy talk, please?
I think the reality of it is that I have no problem against gamers. I have no problem against any game whatsoever. When you say that,
well, that's nice to know.
I'm sorry. When you say that I'm going to come over and I'm going to sit in your basement and I'm going to watch you play a game, like literally a game.
Right, man. Like I said to the other guy, man. It's very realistic.
It doesn't matter.
All right, okay. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Aaron. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Aaron, in Merced, California, on the Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Fine.
Good. I just want to say that the scene in Call of Duty, I have the game myself. I'm an avid gamer.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's a fairy tale. It's a scene in the game to portray how terrible it is, and it's a story mechanism. It's not to portray terrorists and to be a terrorist. It's just to say that you can be in the shoes of a terrorist.
You can be in the shoes of a terrorist and play that game.
It shows you it's such a realistic game, and it's so violent. And that scene is a very violent. Violent scene. I was blown away when I first played it, and I can't imagine that happening in real life. And just like it can happen in real life because in the game
you can imagine what it's like to go in and slaughter. You could go and slaughter a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. It's very realistic.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's not real. It's a fantasy.
Okay, let me ask you something, man. You do a lot of gaming, you do regular fests and stuff like that, because I do at my house. All right.
I'm in the middle of a game right now. I'm playing online.
Okay. If you invite a friend over on say Saturday and have him sit down next to you, you're telling me he wouldn't be terrorized.
What's gonna terrorize the guy?
No, I'm asking this guy because he's.
Not gonna be terrorized. He's gonna be like, you know, like, wow, this is pretty crazy stuff. If this would really happen, that would be unbelievable. I mean, it's pretty scary.
Well, how good are you, man? Because if you're good enough, you would be able to terrorize him.
How are you going to terrorize the guy, man, if he knows that you're playing a game?
Because he's looking at how ruthless you are and butchering everybody up. Ain't that right?
No.
Man?
I wouldn't say terrorize.
What? What? Well, if you're online right now, are you in what game? Are you in a room right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guarantee whoever you're playing, you can terrorize them to the point where they. I mean, I don't want them to call the cops on you or anything, and they couldn't because you would be in violation of no law. But they would definitely.
Nobody's terrorized by this.
Feel like there was a threat to their city.
supporting mechanism, like a book or a movie that deals with terrorism.
Okay, dude, I don't mean anything by this, man, but what if I were to tell you that you sound terrorized just talking to me right now?
I'm not terrorized. I'm playing my game.
Okay, I mean, fine, but, you know, all I'm saying is if you play the game well enough, people will feel terrorized to the point where they feel there is some sort of a threat to their county or state.
Oh, come on, man. Are you telling me some cat's going to go out of a gaming room and call the cops?
I said that they're not going to call the
game. This guy, I don't know what you got this guy, but...
No, man, I'm telling you, I got Modern Warfare 2 today, man. I've been playing it all day, and I terrorized the hell out of everybody. So you guys can't talk.
I waited about 3 hours to get this game.
Well, let me ask you that, Aaron. This is Phil. Is it a good game? Are you enjoying yourself? Prompting you to want to go out?
This game is amazing, and it's amazing because of the fact of it's so realistic. Because
I see
it shows you what can happen in the real world. If this would really happen in the world, it shows. There's a scene.
What are you asking this guy? This is what I've been saying the whole hour, man. And you're listening to him.
He's telling me something that is rooted in reality. He's saying it shows you what possibly could happen. It gives you a sense of what happens, but it doesn't. It is not actual terrorism, Jeff.
It's just like if you watch a movie that just gives you a feeling. It's not going to terrorize you. You're not going to go home and sleep over it.
You're not in the movie in this game. You're in the game. You just chopped up little kids. I've played that game, man. Guys are getting up. So a lot of times I'll stand over them, and I'll just keep firing bullets into them until, like, it severs the torso.
It's just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, listen, thank you for your call, man. It's good to get another review of that. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Stephen on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, I don't think you're
giving me enough. You're not giving me enough credit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey. Does this guy still live with his mother, or does he have anything better to do at this time?
I get that from a lot of people. I'm a competitive gamer. I win cash prizes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah. So that's making money.
Do you live at home, though?
Yeah, I live at home. Why did you think I live at home?
Because you said something about your sister going out to get her ears pierced. Your sister's going to go get her ears pierced.
Who thinks in this day and age after 9/11 that terrorism is respectful or a useful tool? Are you kidding me?
I'm a tool. If I go into an airport and start slaughtering people, who's the tool? Okay? And I'm saying my sister's getting her ears pierced at 10 on Saturday morning, okay? You come over to my house and watch me start slaughtering people.
How would you like if I came over to your house and started slaughtering your family? I mean, how would you feel about that? Is that a useful tool?
What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? I'm talking about going to an airport and chopping people up.
In a game.
Yeah. Okay. So this guy just said he wants to come to my house, and that means he's going to get arrested and maybe killed. What would that do? I'm doing terrorism where you don't get arrested and you don't get killed.
But
now, who's smarter?
How can you even use terrorism as a useful word as an American here after what's happened in 9/11? How is that useful to you or anyone else?
Got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do.
Are you an
American? You got to do what you got to do.
Are you an American?
I think so, yeah. Are you?
If you're an American,
are you?
I'm very much an American. But
okay,
you what,
I'm an American,
you're an American
too.
You're not
you got to do what you got to do.
You're not using terrorism as a good word, buddy.
What happens if I get a kid over to my house who's a Muslim and I terrorize him? Okay, are you saying that's not good?
No, that's not good.
Why not? I'm an American.
Did you get picked on when you were a kid or something? I mean,
no, man. I asked a pretty good question. If I terrorized a Muslim with Call of Duty 4, which I could do easily,
These guys have been thinking what they're doing is right for 1,000 years. They think they're going to get.
I'm not talking about them, man. I'm saying using American style
Muslims.
Terrorism.
You just said you terrorize Muslims. Well,
yeah.
You know what?
Using Call of Duty.
Excuse me.
Now you're saying I am terrorizing them. So you don't even know what you're talking about.
You're going to terrorize them. Fighting this war for years, they'll keep fighting for more. You think your philosophy is going to change anything? That's ridiculous, dude.
Talk about, man.
You need a life.
You said that I'm terrorizing a Muslim using a gaming system. That's American, and that's an American way of doing it.
You think that's
using
work?
A gaming?
You just said it would, because you were saying, "Oh man, you're going to be terrorizing a Muslim. What's that about?"
No,
so
you
admit that it will work.
You think you are?
I didn't say paralyzed.
Trust me, you're not. You don't speak your language, buddy.
No, dude, you just admitted to it, so, you know, I sunk that at the buzzer.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877, thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Hold the line here, Jeff. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder as he talks about Call of Duty 4, which is a game. It's a violent game. It's a graphically violent game. But Mr. Dowder feels it's so graphically violent that it makes you a terrorist when you play it, and anybody watching you play it is terrorized. And hence, it's very effective. You don't get arrested and you don't kill anybody. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Now, you mentioned I'm on with Jeff Dowder, final few minutes with your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL. And we have Jeff Dowder on the line with us as we talk about Call of Duty 4, or as it is known, officially, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, graphic, violent game that shows an incident of terrorism in an airport. Now, you mentioned putting an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah, I put an ad out on Craigslist because I wanted somebody who was really, really a good, you know, a really proficient at Call of Duty 4, and I got a Muslim kid, and his game tag was, Allahu Akbar, and mine was Audie Murphy, so I'm thinking it's on, you know, so anyway, so I emailed this kid, I terrorized him all over the place. Okay, now, is that bad? On account of, I'm terrorizing him for America. Okay.
That doesn't make any difference if he's Muslim or not. The question, Jeff, is can you honestly terrorize somebody with a game? And you've heard people say over and over and over again, it's a game. How can you terrorize somebody with a game?
And I've answered the question by saying it is so realistic. The graphics are so realistic. And when you see me play it, I'm butchering everybody inside. I'm machine gunning. I told you that I stand over people and I empty the magazine into them until it severs them. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
So what, man? It's a video machine gun you're holding. It's not a real one.
But the sheer of what I'm doing, forget about the guy that I'm shooting is fake. It's me. What am I doing? I'm doing it so viciously and in a terrorism way. That's the part that I'm saying.
So, all right, I'm sitting there with you Saturday morning. Your sister's getting her ears pierced. Your mom took her to the mall, so we have the house to ourselves.
Well, I'm not talking about like some gay hookup.
I understand that. Okay, so we're at your house.
Yeah, and I'm playing. You're sitting on the couch, okay? You're going to see me in a way that you never imagined that I would be. And I'm going through an airport and slaughtering people. You go right into the men's room, kick open the stall door, and there's a guy, you know, sitting there, you know, getting one done, and you just chop him up, next stall, and go down. You go to the laser. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
And this is coming from a guy that would be arrested were it not for the fact that you don't want to have a bowel movement in front of other inmates.
Well, you know, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit my reputation in the gaming world, I mean, it doesn't hurt me.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
Morning, Phil. How's it going?
Good morning.
I have one
good
question,
sir,
for you there, Jeff. Have you ever held a real weapon, fired a real weapon other than your gamepad? Because until then, you can't say what you're going to do, okay?
That is a real weapon when you see me use it.
It's a game pad. Come on, man. I was in the military. I've done it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling. You don't know nothing until you can actually hold a weapon in your hand, point it at a person, and pull that trigger. Other than that, I don't want to hear a word from you.
Hey,
it's
man.
It's a game, dude. It's a game.
No, if the effect is that it terrorizes a guy, okay, tell me about
you
it.
You ain't going to terrorize me with the game. I'll terrorize you with a weapon to your head. What are you going to do?
Oh, really?
Will I get arrested?
Look at that.
Probably not. You're going to get caught.
You're telling me that if you sat next to me at my house and I'm cutting people up left and right, and you're going, oh, well,
game,
yeah, I'm really
man.
Bored. I don't think so.
You don't know nothing until you can hold a weapon in your hand. Hey, thanks, Phil. This guy here is
okay, fine, man. But how many people have you cut? How many people have you killed? Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot.
I can't count that.
All right, thank you. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back with news on that guy that got tasered six times in the Vatican and aliens and everything else.
Phil Hendry. Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Come and let the members of Congress know that all of the messages that came out in August...
The president campaigned repeatedly up there. Joe Biden went up there repeatedly.
Mr. President, the New York Times is looking at you, at your dual role as investor and advocate.
Well, I think it's a very good night tonight for the party here in Virginia, and certainly...
Where's my retarded baby?
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL every night here until 1 o'clock at the El Pacifico at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. As we go through the looking glass like Alice in Wonderland of talk radio and reality in general. Joining me this hour will be Harvey Wireman. He's an attorney at law, retired. He's a former attorney for the ACLU. He's a retired United States Marine. And by that, I mean he's a World War II veteran. He's going to be talking with us, though, not about any of that, actually. Well, he'll be talking in his capacity as an attorney. We're going to be discussing tasers, the use of tasers by cops, particularly the use of tasers by cops against the elderly. Although we have two taser stories recently, one in Minneapolis, the tasing of an 18-year-old, and another story in Alaska, the tasing of an 81-year-old man. And when was this? This was last week, a traffic stop in Fairbanks, Alaska, last week. Let me tell you first, though, that you can contact us here on the show tonight at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And you can watch live streaming video of our show every night on our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as listen to the live streaming audio if you're not near any one of our affiliates. And the video is on demand the next day, so you can watch it the next day if you'd like. You can also download the audio to our show the next day. And we have all kinds of archives over there. We've got a list of great affiliates, so it's a great place to go, philhenryshow.com. And we're also at Twitter, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. The stories here, and there was the story, of course, that we got into a very interesting discussion on the show, I thought, a few weeks ago about the 72-year-old lady who was tasered in... Texas, which was, you know, unfortunate, but nonetheless, it happened, and that was the extent of that. Let me get Harvey Wireman on the line here from San Marino, California. Harvey, a retired attorney, and Harvey, good to speak with you this evening.
Well, I'm very grateful that you had me on this topic, Phil. Thank you.
And Harvey, you've worked both sides of the street. You were a DA at one time and a defense attorney, correct?
Well, a long time ago, I worked for the... District Attorney's Office in Chicago before I came to California. Now I'm retired now, but I do consulting and I do some pro bono work.
And you were in the Marines?
Yes, I was. I was a born killer.
Okay.
As they say.
All right. So you've done it all, and I wanted to talk to you about this tasering. First of all, let's talk about this one story here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is a man, an 18-year-old man, backed by video footage. A Minneapolis man is now claiming that police used a taser against him after he surrendered and put his hands on the hood of a squad car. And his name is Rolando Demetrio Ruiz. He's filed a notice of claim alleging civil rights and other violations in the April 30th incident. Here is a dash cam audio of that tasing. Wow.
It's pretty graphic.
Wow, that's brutal to hear, isn't it?
Well, it's not a pleasant thing to have done to you, but that's unfortunately the byproduct of the use of those things.
And now we have last week an 81-year-old, we don't have audio on this, and maybe I'm grateful for that. An 81-year-old man was tasered during a traffic stop last week. It's the second time since 1998 that police have had to make a show of force during a traffic stop to arrest Glenn M. Wilcox, a Fairbanks-based Episcopalian priest and real estate agent. Court documents allege that officers with Ellison Air Force Base, these were, Air Force police, military police for the Air Force, the 354th Security Forces Squadron pulled Wilcox over just after 1 p.m. Wednesday for going 11 miles over the speed limit on the Richardson Highway, and they used the taser. And then there's the story of this lady in Texas, and we'll run this one more time for people who may not know what we're talking about. This woman in Texas who was tased back in the spring when she refused to meet the demands of this police officer.
Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be tased. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Taser, get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. You're going to be tased again. Page 17, I've got one tase. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. Get your hands behind your back.
So that I guess we pretty much the extent of that, Harvey. So those are just three distinct taser cases, and I know you've worked a couple of them, but I wanted to get your feelings on this, because this is, in the case of this 18-year-old in Minneapolis, he wants to bring a claim against the police, and this woman in Texas also sued, although I don't think she collected quite as much as she thought she would. What is your feeling on the, on particularly the elderly, and this 81-year-old man, this 72-year-old man, the use of this kind of force against those people?
Well, yeah, I'm glad, first of all, Phil, that you differentiated between the young man in Minneapolis and the case of that young man. I think the police have an awful lot to answer for. Here's a young man. He's, if I got you right, he's Hispanic, correct?
The name does seem to indicate that, yeah.
All right. He's a man of color. He's a minority, and the police in some cities, and I'd have to look into Minneapolis, but I'm pretty sure in Minneapolis they've got a spotty record at best dealing with the people of color, particularly native people in that part of the country. And so I think the Minneapolis police is going to have some explaining to do. Now, let's move on to the other two cases, particularly the lady in Texas and this man in Fairbanks, Alaska. I know, as an attorney, and I don't think a lot of your listeners would disagree, that people reach a certain age in our society, and there is no real expectation on the part of that individual, nor is there any expectation on the part of the prosecutor, that they're going to be doing any real jail time for any offense that they've committed. More often than not, the elderly in our society will commit some kind of a felony, and that is to say a serious crime, and are generally given a probation, a house arrest, or some other consideration based upon their age. I don't think it's right, personally. I think that every human being in our society, if they are found guilty, should definitely be the recipient of what the law demands. When I hear that woman being tased, I know what she's thinking. I know what all of the senior citizens in our country think. Well, I'm not really going to go to jail. I'm not really going to get a ticket because they're going to feel sorry for me because I'm old. And it is in that instant when I think the police officer, the arresting officer, should have some latitude in terms of how he deals with her, because he knows, you know, I know, all of your listeners know, she's never going to see any real jail time. And the latitude there that I think the arresting officer was correct in seizing was to, you know, give her a taste of the trouble that she put him through and the trouble she's going to put the courts through.
Well, are you saying that it was all right for him to tase her?
First of all, I listened to that tape very carefully. It's very questionable whether she was really suffering or whether she was play-acting for the benefit of the tape recorder, because everybody knows that the police have these recording devices. Very, very suspicious that that old woman was in any pain at all. Secondly, if she was in pain, I don't see anything wrong with a police officer knowing that they're going to give her a slap on the wrist and let her go home with her daughter or whoever it is she lives with. And meanwhile, the rest of us in society have got to, if you'll pardon my French, have got to suck on it. At that moment, I think that officer made the right decision, knowing she was going to get up.
Well, wait. Well, Harvey, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Go ahead.
That's not his job to dish out punishment. He's an arresting officer.
No, I know it's not his job. What I'm saying is, I think it's perfectly understandable that if this old lady or some old man who knows that they're not going to go to jail for anything, if a police officer lets the taser go on them, and as they say in the police business, and they ride the lightning or they do the electric slide or however you want to put it, or take a walk down to Electric Avenue, you know,
Billy Ocean?
Yeah, the Billy Ocean song.
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean. Let's go down to Electric Avenue. Well, that's what a police officer says when he decides that he's had enough of some old woman who is going to walk scot-free.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. My question is, that is not his job. His job as a police officer is to write the citation, but not to dole out punishment.
No, that's not necessarily true. You can, as a police officer, be given the latitude that the old woman has given you enough guff, and you know that you've wasted all kinds of paperwork, and you're going to give her a taste of what she's been giving you. What he gave her is no worse than what she was giving him. No worse at all. In fact, he probably had it worse.
Well, come on. She was talking rude to him. She was not following orders.
Yeah, she was not following what the officer was directing her to do. And at that moment, there is in the law books, there's something called enforcement rage.
No, wait. You're going to...
Hold on for a minute. Are you the lawyer?
No, I'm not the lawyer.
Well, let me talk. When you push a cop so far, and just the mere existence of an old lady getting out of a car in a traffic stop, that already has pushed that officer to the limit.
Why?
Because when he sees the old woman, he knows she will not have to do any punishment at all. So that already provokes our police officers beyond what anything they should be allowed to be provoked to. So the provocation is on the part of that old woman looking at him, and he has to realize that she's not going to be punished. The hand goes to the taser, and she is basically giving him carte blanche to issue summary punishment because she opened her mouth. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. So the existence of an elderly person in a traffic stop is already provoking the officer.
Yes.
Why?
I just got done telling you because of the fact...
Because he knows that they're not going to be punished because they're old.
Yes. You remember the guy in Santa Monica, the old man that killed 8 people at the farmer's market because his foot stuck to the throttle? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what do you think? They slapped him on the wrist and they sent him home with his daughter or something. 8 people dead, and he goes home to have to sit in an easy boy and watch bowling. Well, the same thing is true of that old woman, and when that officer took a look at what was waiting for him in that car, he knew that there was no judge that was going to give him any peace. He had to do it himself, and
And all right, we're going to come back and discuss this a little bit more. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, about the tasering incidents. What's this, bud?
You want to see this?
Harvey wrote it, bottom line, police officers should taser the elderly, and I think your listeners would agree that it's a policy that every station in the country should put into place. Really. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from Harvey Wireman and these taserings going on around the country by police officers of the elderly. Most recently, last week, an 81-year-old man in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, as we talk about the police tasering of a couple of elderly people. You know the one, the 72-year-old woman in Texas. Last week in Fairbanks, Alaska, police officers with the Air Force police, military police attached to the Air Force at Eielson Air Base, part of the 354 security forces, pulled over a car, I guess, that was either on Air Force property or was within their jurisdiction somehow, and tasered an 81-year-old man. And I want to get back to you, Harvey, with your comments, and then we have phone calls to take. I want to know the legal justification for a police officer tasering someone who simply because they're elderly.
They're not tasering them because they're elderly. They're not doing that.
Well, that's, you said as soon as he looks and sees an elderly person.
When a police officer sees... Let me explain something to you. When a police officer sees an old lady sitting in a car, he's already on guard, because if she gives him any lip, he knows he's going to have to arrest her, otherwise cite her, and she's not going to get punished. Why? Because she's old, and they don't send old people to jail. So he has been put in an untenably provocative situation by the system. And the police officers that I've defended, and keep in mind, I work for the ACLU, so I'm not what you'd call a conservative, but I do believe, and let me tell you something. I said to the judge, you put a police officer in a situation of looking at some old lady, that taser's halfway out of its holster.
Why? Because she's old?
I just told you, because the woman, by virtue of the fact that that old lady is sitting there staring at him, it's already pushing him. He knows that she's not going to get... And when you put a police officer in that situation, you better expect that you're taking a stroll down to Electric Avenue. And whether it's Billy Olson or Billy Ocean or Mary Kay or Olson or however you say it, that's where you're going.
So you can defend a police officer in front of a judge.
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
By saying that officer is already provoked because it's an old person and they're not going to go to jail.
That's right. And the police officer is already going to be thinking, well, then you want to know something? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of street justice going here.
Well, yeah, my hat's off to you if what you say is true.
What do you mean what I say is true?
Well, the fact that you were able to sell that to a jury or to a judge. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman this evening. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the tasering of the old woman. Our officers are trained to defuse situations with as less force as possible. It's totally off base to say that the officer had a right to tase the woman just because she was being belligerent, given the fact she did exit her vehicle and approach the officer. She is an elderly woman. The officer is probably half her age, physically stronger than her by far, and could have defused the situation either verbally or escorted the woman back to her vehicle by her arm and explained to her that she was overstepping her bounds to just tase her. And for this gentleman lawyer say that he thinks it's okay for the officer to do such a thing or to be within his rights to already be on his guard and ready to tase an elderly person just because he believes they're not going to get any punishment is way off base.
Well, you know something, what you didn't know about this case is that as soon as she got out of her car, sir, and I forget what's this man's name.
His name is Roy.
Roy, as soon as she got out of the car, her mouth was already going. So, in other words, what she had in her mind was, I'm old, there's nothing he can do, and on top of that, I think I'll just keep gum flapping and really piss him off. That officer was provoked. And,
first, I don't know if you're a police officer,
he had no choice but to say, I got to get some street justice going on this old bag, excuse my language. Because I know the judge is going to kiss her on both cheeks and pat her on the rear end and send her home with her son-in-law or whatever, whoever she's talked into letting her live with them. And that officer already knows that he's got no shot at seeing her, you know, sweated. So
what do you mean sweated, man? What are you going to sweat an old lady?
They're not putting her in jail. You know that as well as I do. And she knows it. That's why her mouth is going.
First off, she didn't get out of her car, I'm absolutely positive, thinking that, oh, I'm not going to go to jail, so I'm going to let this guy have some crap.
You're absolutely positive? I'm 79 years old.
For you to think that you can read this woman's mind and feed that to somebody and have them believe it.
These old people are getting away with murder.
Just because you have a law degree doesn't mean you can read people's minds and say, but I do know about motivation. You have no idea what this woman was thinking, and you're way out of line.
I can assure you, sir, that old lady was thinking, look at this, I got this dumb, stupid cop right where I want him.
Oh, brother. All right, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls and Harvey Wireman.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey, what is this?
Yeah, this is the song I got
Bud Dickman?
Yeah, but this is a song called Electric Avenue. Now, this is a song, this is what the cops call tasing some old woman, you know. Yeah, you hear that?
I know this song, yeah. What has this got to do with tasing?
It's called Electric Avenue. And that's where you, that's what they call, but listen to this, here. See, right here, look at this, right here. We're on down to Electric Avenue. You see that?
Is this a song that police listen to?
Yeah, they listen to this. This is the language that cops talk. And when I hear this song, I can see, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be, what do you call it, morbid, but I can see the old woman writhing on the asphalt because she wouldn't shut up.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, that's, I'm telling you the truth. Electric Avenue. There you go. So in other words, if you're an elderly woman and you thought you were going to give a cop lip and then take your groceries home and tell everybody how great you were, guess what? Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a song the police listen to.
A lot of cops have it in the radio car, yeah.
Well, I think that's sadistic. If I was the watch commander or whoever the guy is, I wouldn't have them listening to that in their cars.
Well, I guess you're not the watch commander now, are you? So I guess that's something you don't get to, you know, you don't get to talk about. But I can tell you that this is what our police officers are up against. When an old woman thinks that she's above the law and is going to provoke a cop to the point where he has no choice but to drop her.
877-876-PHIL. I would think that our police would have far more control and not take things quite so personally. Let's go over to Gus on the Phil Hendry Show. Gus, you're on with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. My comments is this. First of all, they're supposed to protect the individual and let justice handle the matters. Nobody's supposed to take justice in their own hands. And secondly, we have a far better police force than what he is describing there. This gentleman there.
My name is Harvey Wireman, sir, and I'm an attorney, and I know our police are good, but let me ask you this. Who protects our police? When they see an old woman who is going to get away with cold-blooded murder, and they know that no one is going to... You're saying that they don't have the right to at least watch her dance a little bit.
Since you
given
said
what
cold-blooded murder, she didn't do anything. Yeah. She just had an alligator mouth and a mosquito body. That's what she did.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
She could have shot that police officer, and they still wouldn't have given her jail because she's old.
She didn't?
Well.
Yeah, and she's not...
And how does she know that he wasn't going to...
Can we turn that off, please?
If she wasn't on some kind of medication, how do you know if something else was wrong? How do you know you weren't there?
And that's a good point.
The officer didn't handle the situation. He just let it get out of control.
I thought he controlled his temper much better than I thought he would.
You can't lose your temper over somebody having a big mouth. Can you imagine
the old lady,
how many people have a big mouth? They don't agree with you, they're not going to haze you, are they?
If someone said to you, go ahead and hit me with that baseball bat, you know sooner or later you're going to do that. That's what that old lady did.
How did she do that?
She did it by being pulled over and giving him lip. That's how she did it. You might as well have hit him with a bat.
Why? Because she's an old person?
Yes. Because she's not going to go to jail, and that officer is now facing the... Are you talking to somebody else?
No.
All right.
No, I'm talking to you. First of all,
if
a citizen would take the charges to the grand jury and would get the prosecutor to follow through or get the federal prosecutor to follow through, if that had happened here, I would have done that. I would have gone down there and spoke out and said, that officer needs to be...
I agree with Gus. I agree with Gus. You're not making any sense. Because could you turn that song off?
Why can't he play Electric Avenue? Because that's what the cops are up against.
I don't want to hear it because I can't think. The fact is that what Gus is saying is true. How can you justify a cop? The police officers are not trained to punish. The police officers...
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying that there were extenuating circumstances that forgive him for what he's doing.
Why don't you think like that guy that they caught with the bodies in his yard or something? How come somebody
won't
go and shoot him? Because they're going to have to protect him. Well... You're using that lady.
No. You know that guy's going to go to prison. No, you know that guy's going to go to prison. You know that guy's going to ride the lightning. But I'm talking about an old lady. If they found 10 bodies in that lady's house, she would have walked. She would have walked, I guarantee.
Oh, no, I don't. See, I don't agree with that.
Oh, you're telling me? I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm telling you. An old lady, they find 10. What about that old bag? You remember the old lady up in Sacramento? They found 10 bodies in her yard. Where's she?
Minimum security.
You keep saying you're a lawyer. You keep saying you're a lawyer.
I
must have been a traffic ticket lawyer because you probably lost every case in every traffic ticket you had.
There's no such thing as a traffic ticket lawyer. You just go. You don't. There's no such thing. You just go in and pay your ticket.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL on the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to go to James here in Mississippi. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Very good, sir.
That Electric Avenue, though, that's a hell of a song.
Yes, sir.
The attorney that you have on...
Actually, I've got... yes, James, right.
Does he have a mother that's alive?
I'm 79 years old. Three guesses. The first two don't count.
Answer the man's question respectfully.
No, sir. My mother died in 1958.
Okay. Now, I have a mother... 92 years old. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. We're going to go over this thing easy. I'm 62. She he's 30 years older than I.
No. Well, I'm 79, so I'm
you got me a couple.
Yeah. You ever heard the song Electric Avenue?
The thing.
Will you turn that off, please?
Mr. Wireman wanted me to play.
Turn it off, please. Thank you.
What I'm trying to say is...
I tell you, that's a bad jam, though, isn't it?
I love
policemen, officers, as you will call them, are supposed to have some type of training to distinguish angry person. Yes. Hold on.
Right.
An angry person
from a dangerous person. From a dangerous person.
Yeah, a dangerous person from someone that's not going to do bodily harm or physical harm to them.
That's just
all right.
The old lady was going to do physical harm to the system. She was going to walk after speeding or whatever it was.
Yeah, but
well,
the
that's
thing
not
of
physical.
It is,
that's
he. You know how many volts that taser gun has in it?
It's not going to hurt. You heard that old lady. She got up and started giving him lip. That's the part you didn't hear on the tape. She got down on the ground and started wailing, and then when she knew the tape was off, she got up and started calling him every name in the book.
You don't know that for a fact at all.
Attorney. That's been a couple of years ago.
Have you ever ridden the Lightning? Have you ridden the Lightning? No, you haven't.
I saw the tape. I saw the film.
But as a lawyer, I'm supposed to be tased.
For many
they have
days.
To tase me.
If they tase you, if you got a bad heart problem, you might go into cardiac arrest.
That's what they tell you. So can get your sympathy.
Yeah, but did she point a weapon? Did she point a weapon at that police officer?
Yes. She opened her fat mouth, and as an elderly person, that's a weapon. Because what she, yes, it is. Because what she's doing is saying, "Ha ha, you can't send me to jail," and that is going to anger any police officer. That is justifiable. It's not justifiable, but it's a provocation. And all he can see is electricity in his mind. He can just see her bopping up and down off the asphalt, almost as if she's a. What do you call those deals?
You
get in a box, a top, or something like that.
No, wait a minute. Now.
Well, you know,
you're an attorney, right?
You are a lawyer, and I think this is a ridiculous.
Attorney,
but right? I you made a very, very good point there, James. I got to move on here. 877-876 Phil. Let's go to Mike. Mike is in Queens, New York. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. How are
you? What happened to the other caller?
Apparently doesn't appreciate that. Many times the police treat the average citizen like criminals before they even have proven that they're criminals. And what that translates into in New York City is that sometimes policemen act like thugs more than the thugs themselves, because what right do you have to treat an average citizen like a criminal and to tase them or use a taser gun on them?
Well, you do in certain instances
to be
when they're old.
Wait a minute. Let me
when
start.
They're old.
They haven't been proven
when
to be a criminal, and you're treating
the old lady's going
to
walk.
There's no reason to do that.
You're saying, Harvey, you're saying an old lady.
Like he's a criminal. You must treat the citizens like they're regular citizens. You cannot be.
And then he hung up. I've never had anybody hang up a phone on me that I wasn't able to get to them and get to them right away with
dealing in multiplication.
Electric Avenue. And I can tell you...
Will you knock it off with that song, bud? Get out of here with that.
Mr. Wireman ordered it special.
He ordered it special.
I called in before the show, and I said to Dickman, have that song ready, because I got a feeling I'm going to need it. And I have needed it. Because there's not one of these people listening to your program tonight, Mr. Hendry, that understands what I'm trying to say. Our police officers are being provoked. Provoked beyond any reasonable constraint. When they see an elderly person in a car, they know that person, like your average mafioso, in the times before, way back.
Yeah, I know. The mafia used to walk.
Well, guess who's walking now? Old ladies. Old ladies who can look at the cop and go, I'm not going to get in jail. And so what does our officer think? With his blood at a boiling point, with his emotions out of control, with the sight of an automobile accident that he saw a half hour before dancing in his mind, with maybe a dead body dancing in his mind, all he can think of, ride the lightning, you hag. I'm sorry I have to put it that way, Phil.
But what are you addressing a jury now?
Maybe. Maybe I am addressing a jury. Because this is something we have to let people know. Old people need to be tased like everybody else until they get the message. Here comes the pain, just like everyone else. You're no different.
All right, 877-877-877-877-Phil, 877-876-Phil. Let's take a phone call here in North Carolina. Cal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Cal, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Sorry to take up so much time.
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well. Thank you. Yes, uh-huh.
Right. See, the more I listen to this thing, the more I learn about it. First of all, just listening to the conversation, I'm not on criminal statistics or anything, but listening to the side of the story portrayed by this lawyer indicates that 99% of the crime is perpetrated by old people rather than young people.
No, you're not listening very well. I didn't say that, sir. I just said that when an old person commits a crime, they do not get punished because they're old and the judge is afraid to see them rot in jail. So they get to walk out with their son or their daughter or the caretaker or whatever, whoever's, taking care of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Yeah, but you're taking that to mean because a cop knows that. It's okay to dish out justice.
I didn't say it was okay to dish out justice. I said that the officer's now being provoked.
Yeah.
You see? Well,
I guess it's all in a matter of wearing that uniform. You're going to perceive reality somewhat differently from the person walking on the street. I'm sure that
exactly
cop perceives
right.
This old person as somewhat of a threat. But the average law-abiding citizen on the street does not perceive a 78-year-old lady as a threat to society. I mean,
that's true, Cal. But the average person on the street doesn't have to deal with that old lady the way a cop does. The cop's got to deal with it. And when it starts talking and yapping, the cop knows. Well, I've told you the story. She goes in front of the judge. She walks. And she might have run over somebody, run them over and flattened them like a buttermilk pancake. And she walks the next day. The cop knows that, and he realizes this is the only chance anybody's going to get to punish her. I think I'll dish out a little bit of Electric Avenue. Yeah, well, you laugh if you want, sir. But
turn the music off. No wonder the guy's laughing. All right, sir, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-Phil. Thank you, sir. That was Cal. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman as we talk about the tasering of elderly people and Mr. Wireman's point of position being that because elderly people never go to jail for anything, that a cop is actually dishing out the only punishment they're going to get for their crime, and therefore it's okay.
No, wrong again. You blew it again. You blew it. You blew it.
Well, I got to go to a commercial, okay?
You go ahead and go to the commercial. You blew it. You blew it.
In other words, what?
In other words, I already said he was provoked beyond honor.
877-876-Phil. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What?
What I said was, that ain't Electric Avenue. What is that?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
When you play that song, you know,
what?
It sounds like the cops enjoy using their tasers.
I never made that statement, Mr. Hendry.
When you play that song, Electric Avenue, by the singer, it sounds as if you're making the point that the police enjoy using their tasers. And I don't think that's the point that you want to make at all. Let's go over to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on a Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman and Phil Hendry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just wanted to comment that, I had to actually turn the radio station off for a little while just to clear my head because I look at this whole picture here and I listen to what this gentleman is saying and he's making a mockery out of the Constitution in the United States. You know, people have rights.
I'm an attorney, and I use the Constitution
regardless of whether he's an attorney or not.
Justify the police who are up against it. The police
now,
are
Harry,
up against
had
it.
Your, you had your chance to talk, but to justify the use of excessive force on any person, whether they're elderly or not,
excessive is.
And there was a gentleman earlier that alluded to the fact that police officers are trained to use restraint and as less force as possible to restrain a situation.
Yes,
now,
well, that's not exactly true.
And I will testify to that as a former military policeman that is certainly the case. Now,
I was a Marine.
You know,
I was a Marine, and I ran up against you guys in the shore patrol, and let me tell you, you guys used excessive force. Don't give me that baloney. You guys beat the hell out of a lot of Marines down in Tijuana. You think that's funny? I saw it happen, my friend. I was a military police officer. That's a laugh.
Harvey, you know what? Don't disrespect
the
guy. Nobody's disrespecting you.
The fact that you can trounce on the Constitution and just use excessive force whenever you deem a police officer feels insulted or for some reason in your mind has some right to be able to tase any person, whether they're elderly or not, is just
right, can I ask you a question?
It's to a point now where you have police officers who are engaging in high-speed pursuits, and actually people are being killed because they're being pursued by
this.
Officers that have gone beyond...
Beyond due process
and caution, you have a limitation and you have a responsibility to the public.
I just want to be clear. You used to beat up jarheads down at Tijuana, and that makes you a lawyer, is that it? I just want to be clear.
He didn't say that at all.
No,
he never said that at all. He said it was a military police officer.
He used to take the stick to him. They love to beat up these. They love to beat up grunts.
You know what? Quite honestly, I would not use excessive force.
You
don't
turn that off.
Ever.
Mr. Wireman,
it's not excessive. It's not excessive.
And whatever your lawyer training
doing an old lady, it's never excessive. When you tase an old lady, it's not excessive. It's appropriate.
Oh, my goodness. You know.
It is. It's appropriate, given the fact that she's never going.
At Harvard or whatever law school she went to.
I wish.
Phil Henry.
I wish.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And a very pleasant good evening to you. We have Larry Grover who will be first up with us to talk about the Arnold Schwarzenegger and whether or not this guy is... got a prenup? Is he going to be paying this woman, this nanny? Is he still Arnold Schwarzenegger? Other than all of the stupid jokes that have been coming out about Governator, where are some of these people coming from? What do you think? You think Schwarzenegger has a future? I mean, he can make movies. There's no question about that. He can just be just a rank and file run of the mill Hollywood douchebag. There's not a problem with that. This is not going to hurt him there. But whatever it was, he thought he was going to do as a public servant. It's over. And maybe he knows that. We'll also be talking later on in the program with Stephen Bozell on this Judgment Day, supposedly tomorrow, the apocalypse, which asked me if I'm worried about that. You know, however, Mr. Bozell will be on the line with us to discuss that. But first up, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, the story says he paid $65,000 toward a mistress's house. The embattled former California governor reportedly made a $65,000 down payment on a house for his ex-housekeeper, Mildred Patty Baena, nearly 1 year before He admitted to fathering her child. Schwarzenegger made two separate gift payments, one for $5,000 in 2010 and another $60,000 from his own personal bank account. Nice to have that kind of bread laying around. The down payment covered nearly a quarter of the total purchase price. Property records show that the four-bedroom home in Bakersfield was purchased in June 2010. We're going to get on the line here, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, big-time supporters of the governor down through the years, and now taking a look at what's happened to Governor Schwarzenegger and, like I said, the possibility that he doesn't have a political career. Does that alarm you at all, Larry?
Well, I, first of all, I think we have to take a step back and look at what's happened to Governor Schwarzenegger. I don't think that we should rush to judgment on this. I think that he has been, he's been dogged by the press. This is a situation that's come about that obviously involves family time, and he's talked about trying to get together with his family. But I don't think that there's been enough concern for the governor in this respect. He is the governor of the state of California. He is a man that leads the state of California. He's also a man that I think still does have some prospects as on the political scene. But the situation as it presents itself is that right now people think that there's a moral problem with him. I don't think it's a moral problem at all. I think it is. It could be seen as a natural outgrowth of 25 years married to Maria Shriver, a certain sort of social expectations that come with being married to her, as well as the reality of a Maria Shriver. Any man, especially with a woman who has a propensity for a very, she's very thin,
well, she keeps herself in good shape.
She is a lovely girl, but it becomes something for a man like Schwarzenegger, who is in the bodybuilding world for a long time. He's used to, for the most part, a woman that is going to present an opportunity, and I don't mean that in any bad sense, Phil.
What are you talking about here? I mean, are we talking about his political career?
Well, the first thing I want to do is make your audience aware of the fact that I don't think what he did necessarily marks him as a man to be looked down upon. I think he should be, to the extent that one would do this, pitied.
Pitied? Why?
Well, again, I go back to the Maria Shriver. If you're married to that woman, any woman, for 25 years, but particularly a woman that is very keen on staying a certain weight, and you have a woman come into the home who's taking care of your children, and she is certainly a different body type, I don't think, and I say this as gingerly as I can, I don't think you say no to that. I think what you do is...
You don't think you say no to that. Now, you're not sounding like the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County here anymore. You're sounding, you know...
No, Phil.
No, you're sounding a little bit like just one of the guys at the bar just talking, you know.
No, I don't. What I'm trying to do is find a way for people to understand what Governor Schwarzenegger did, because I think this is a really... really good, solid man. I think he's a good leader. I think he's a man the country can use. I think he was up against an unbelievable task in the state of California. I think, to coin a phrase, it was a Herculean task that one would, I suppose, expect of a man who is built a little bit like Hercules, or how we imagine Hercules to be put together. But it was nonetheless a very difficult task. I think the governor gave it his best, and I think... I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has learned, and he's learning, and he's coming home at night to Maria and the children, and I'm sure he loves, but you are a man who is expected to work miracles, and you're looking for something at the end of the day, something that you can lose yourself in, and I'm trying to be as... trying to put it the right way.
You're basically painting a portrait here, Larry, You're building the case to excuse this man's infidelity.
I'm not excusing his infidelity from the standpoint of his wife. What I'm trying to do is talk to the potential voter. That's my business is politics. And
you're building a case for the potential voter, then, saying that Arnold Schwarzenegger is, and we've heard this discussion before. We've heard this excuse before. For the heavyweights in life, for the big guys in life, for the people that are under a lot of pressure in life, they have a difference. There's a different set of standards they should be judged by. They get to cheat. The rest of us don't.
No, that's not it at all.
Well, what is it about his situation then? If that's not it, then what are you saying? Because that's what I'm hearing you say.
What I'm saying is, it is a combination of a very high-pressure job, but coming home every night to Maria Shriver, who is a slender young lady and a woman who I dare say some people might consider to be a classic beauty, a model.
Well, I think she did model at one time.
Did she? I did not know that. I know she is from a family of very lovely people, and she's a lovely girl. But I think with the type of body that she had, very, very slender, Schwarzenegger's a bodybuilder. Now you get into your life a nanny who is Hispanic. You saw the pictures of her. And I think that's the other thing. I think more, particularly male voters, but even female voters, need to see the pictures of this woman. And I think once you do, a lot of questions are answered. And
What do you mean? If I look at those pictures and I say, oh, wow, now I understand.
Well, again, I use the phrase, and I perhaps I shouldn't have, but I use the phrase, how do you say no to that?
How do you say no to that if you're married to Maria Shriver, or how do you say no to that? Because I don't think that woman is all that attractive.
If you're married for 25 years, and let me put it another way, Phil.
I'll give our phone number out here before you do, Larry, okay?
All right.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I guess I'm getting ready for the weekend when our number changes. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Arnold Schwarzenegger married 25 years to Maria Shriver, and suddenly he sees this new nanny. And Larry Grover with us here from Conservatives of Kern County. How do you say no to that? In other words, Maria Shriver is a skinny girl, and here comes a buxom Hispanic woman.
I think that there is something to be said, yeah.
All right, well, I and it doesn't matter to you if I say to you personally, I would not, I think Maria Shriver's a more attractive woman.
Well, you haven't been married to her for 25 years, and this is the point that I'm trying to make. You've got a lot of people in your audience tonight who've been married for 25 years, and they come home to a beautiful, they may think she's the most beautiful woman in the world, or the most handsome man, or the most wonderful, loving man in the world, but you come home to the same thing. And it could be a nanny, it could be a maid, it could be a piano teacher for one of the kids. How do you, if it comes into your life, or her, with a body type that is completely the opposite of what you have been, what you've had to lay down next to?
All right, I get what you're saying. This is quite uncomfortable for me, and I'll tell you why. Because you're more about the man's taste in physique than you are about the man.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's what it sounds like. You're more about the man's taste in a woman's body than you are about the man.
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm saying you have to understand after 25 years of marriage to the same woman who is very, very thin and governor of California, which was a series of problems that I don't think anybody could even imagine tackling. And then into his life comes the nanny. She's got a different physical makeup. She's big. I don't mean big, in any negative sense, but she's a big woman. And I would say, and I mean this, he obviously saw the door swing open. And he took advantage of that. And I don't think many men are different. And again, when you look at what you've been married to for 25 years.
Well, when you look at what you've been married to for 25 years, as if guys are constantly in a meat market and we're constantly perusing the pork chops,
Well, I don't mean that. I'm just saying from
from the standpoint of how a man works and is under pressure, and the same type of body.
This is all about body, isn't it?
It is about, he loves Maria. I don't think he loves the maid. I think he has used the maid, and I think the maid came out of it with a...
You mean that she's a nanny, right?
Excuse me, a nanny. She came out of it with a house. She came out of it with a house. But if you're coming home, again, I have to say, if you're coming home, you're Arnold Schwarzenegger to the same sort of thin-looking woman, and here comes a new nanny that is big, has got a... is big, you know.
I understand what you're saying. Are you saying voluptuous?
Yes, voluptuous.
Are you saying Rubenesque? Are you saying sexy?
I'm saying even more than that, because as a bodybuilder, he's used to some big women. And I don't mean big in muscle. I mean they got a lot of the areas that you would want to be big.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Governor Schwarzenegger, a report today says he paid $65,000 toward a mistress's home. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger of California. And certainly states other states have had problems with their governors. I'm thinking of Mark Sanford in South Carolina. There's a few that are slipping my mind, that his situation was quite bizarre. This one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Larry Grover feels, after 25 years of being married to a very thin woman like Maria Shriver, the thing is, I don't get what he's saying is, I don't hear anything being commented on in terms of his taste in women, as a companion. He's just saying that Maria Shriver was thin, and along came this big, buxom Hispanic nanny, and he says, in Larry's words, you can't say no to that. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, it is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. We talk about the supposed rapture that people have been talking about. You know, the end of the world. Rapture is a Christian term. I don't know what that has to do. I guess that's what it is, because this guy is, I believe he's a Christian minister. We're going to talk about that. And if you can tell from the sound of my voice, I'm not too worried about it. You're right. Anyway, we don't. By the way, I forgot our affiliate spotlight tonight, bud.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati.
Yeah, WQRT in Cincinnati and WPLZ in Chattanooga, two great stations on our network. We are very, very appreciative of you, of your patronage. Larry,
yeah.
I the one area that you and I haven't covered here is the morality of this. This is an immoral thing. It is an unfaithful. It is infidelity. And why do we not? Why don't we talk about that?
Again, you and I have had our disagreements on this. I believe in morality. I believe in the, and I'll go right out and say it, I am a believer in religious values and in the Christian values you just spoke of. And that's why I am saying that Governor Schwarzenegger was the victim, if you will, Phil, of a very human need to get, when you look at that, and it comes into the house. And
it may be that you're talking about temptation.
Yes, I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about, if you will, the devil.
But that is also something that we have control over. And we can talk all we want about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the women and the, you know, his wife for 25 years and she was skinny and here comes, you know, you can't say no to that. But the fact of the matter remains, yes, you can.
I think, Phil, there are times when no, you can't. And that's what I'm saying. No, you can't say no to it. There are few times and few opportunities in life. Arnold Schwarzenegger may be a different case because he was a movie star. But for the rest of us, how often are you going to get a chance like that? And are you going to say no to it?
And a chance like what?
If you're married to a woman like Maria Shriver, who is a real thin, and you have a nanny come into the home that looks like what you looked at before the show, right? Because you saw the pictures.
Yes, I did. And I'll tell you again, she's not that attractive.
I'm talking about the average man. You going to say no to that? I don't think you are. And why I say that is because a man will risk committing a viciously filthy sin knowing that God forgives.
So he will walk right into the trap of that sin, if you will, feeling he'll be forgiven.
I believe that is the case, and I will say this just so you know I'm not a hypocrite. That would be my decision.
You would cheat on your wife.
I don't call it that. I call it, this train's never going to come through the station again is what I call it.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show here on with Larry Grover. Let's take a phone call. We have Vicki on The Phil Hendry Show here. Vicki, go ahead.
So I am just sitting in my car. I had to pull over. I am flabbergasted at this guy. So he is supposed to be representing conservative voters, and he's trying to say that he wants us to look at this and not think badly of Arnold. But he keeps saying, oh, it was okay for him to cheat, because if you got in front of a woman like this, you would do it too. And he said that. He said, are you going to say no? Are you going to say no? He said that like 3 or 4 times. I'm thinking, what an idiot this guy is. I wouldn't want him speaking on my behalf for any reason. He says Arnold's a victim.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, he is. I really feel that, Vicki, that Governor Schwarzenegger, who I can tell you admire him, and I do too. And this is unfortunate for everyone concerned, including. But how often in life does a man get a chance? And I might be.
He's not listening to himself. He sounds so ridiculous.
Are you listening to yourself, Larry?
I most certainly am listening to myself. And I'm saying, if something like that walks into your house.
I told you already.
I'm not talking about you. You're if you want to call it a celebrity. I mean, the average man.
The average man would look at that woman and say, wow, big deal. I don't know what he would think.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what he would think. And Arnold Schwarzenegger saw his. Yes, ma'am?
It's just ridiculous. And he kept saying, well, if you were married 25 years to Maria Shriver, who's a pretty woman, she's lovely, however, she's too skinny, and if a normal woman with a little more meat on her bones came around, well, first of all, they were married 25 years, the child is 13, so he had an affair when, you know, they were 12 years into their marriage. So whether or not it continued or not, the wrong thing for this person, this Larry person to do, if he's trying to keep votes for Arnold or keep Arnold in the positive public eye, is to come out here and talk. He needs to be quiet. I'm a conservative Republican voter. And
yes,
I tell you what, I don't want this guy anywhere around anybody I'm trying to get into office anywhere.
Mary, ma'am, this is Larry Grover, and I appreciate your opinion. I seriously do. But I think we got to get out in front of this. I don't think hiding is going to help. And I think if you sell it to the voter, such as yourself,
you are not the representative to be selling this, because you need to take a step back and listen to the recorded playback. You sound ludicrous.
You sound absolutely
ridiculous. My 17-year-old son is sitting in the car with me going, Mom, this guy's an idiot. I'm like,
we'll be back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why did you cut her off?
WETANZ.com. WETANZ.com.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, a frequent contributor, talking about the so-called rapture, and I believe I misspoke when I said apocalypse. Those are two different events, and we'll talk about that next hour. With me this hour is Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and the problems that he is facing by his own behavior, Larry, with the nanny, an affair, an infidelity, a child is born. This is terribly devastating to a family.
There's no question about it, Phil, and I'm not trying to say anything other than I think the governor can be rehabilitated from the standpoint of even if it is immoral. And you've said, you made this point.
Well, that was my the point that I wanted to get to was the absolute betrayal of a family.
I think that's rough. I was going to say, yes, I believe it was bad, and let's just say it was bad. You want to keep beating into the ground a lot of things that...
I'm not beating anything into the ground. It was bad. And you are saying it was bad, but how are you going to say no to that? And the that you're talking about is a woman.
Of course, her name is Ms. Baena. She is... And again, I won't ask you because you're already got your mind made up to go against anything I'm saying.
No, I'm not going against anything. You say to me, how do I say no to that? I say very easily.
Well, the average man, I think, would, and Arnold Schwarzenegger being married to a real thin woman. And
all right, you've said that over and over. She's too skinny.
Well, yes, but a man who's married to a really skinny woman for 25 years is not going to say no to something that comes into the house. You know, it's got to... How can I say what I want to say without making it sound dirty? I'm saying...
That she's got large breasts, that she is a voluptuous woman, that she is a Latina a hot tamale. I don't know. You know, but...
please have a little respect, Phil.
Oh, have a little respect. You're the one that has been talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger not being able to say no to it. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let's go to Torrance, California. Here is Catherine. Hi, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes.
First of all, I want to say that your guest there is absolutely reprehensible. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria, they got married in church. He made promises to her that he would love, honor, and cherish her. For him to turn around and get his housekeeper or nanny pregnant at the same time that he got Maria pregnant, if you don't think that that's a moral issue, then your guest needs to have his moral compass checked. I find it very hard. The hypocrites who complained about John Edwards when he got someone pregnant and had a child. Oh, it was absolutely horrible, absolutely horrible. And now they're saying, oh, Arnold,
well,
what a man,
that was
what
worse.
A man.
That was this worse, but John Edwards
how
did.
Is it,
John
how,
Edwards,
how is it worse? He
because,
lied
because
to
he
his
was
wife.
Getting,
he lied to his wife for 14 years, and by hiding it, he was lying to California, too. And you must not live in California because he left this state worse
City,
off
California.
Than when he got elected to California. This state is worse off. And
that's
I'm sorry, but
like
he is a total... Please. He
well,
is a complete
sleaze. He completely.
He completely.
All right, hold on for a
you know what? If
Catherine,
I was
you
Maria
hold on.
Shriver,
you
the
hold
first
on,
thing I would
Catherine,
do is
you
drop
have to hold
his
on.
Name oh. and get an
yeah,
eight.
She just wants to filibuster. You just want a filibuster, don't you, ma'am?
I would. I would get if I was
Maria. She wants to.
You know, I would get for any kind of decision.
You just don't like
that
him.
Man.
You just don't like his politics. That's why you're saying what you're saying. If it was John Edwards,
you know what?
It's not
this
a problem.
You know,
John Edwards
why,
cheated.
Is,
John Edwards cheated on a woman who had cancer.
How does
cancer.
This have anything to do with politics? This
because
is
you're
his,
giving John Edwards a pass.
This is the morality of this
pass.
Man. If you do, if you're saying as a conservative that you are so religious, but the
yes,
promises that you take in front of a priest in a church before God,
priest.
If they don't mean anything, then you are not religious. Then you
I am not
have
a Catholic.
A, then
I'm
you
Protestant.
Have a moral compass problem.
Yeah,
you
I'm
have
sure this
a
happened
problem.
To you. This must have happened to you because.
Well, why are you saying that?
Because she's taking it personal, aren't you?
You know what? You
it
know what,
did happen to you.
No, it did not.
She's not saying
you,
that at
you know
all.
What?
Now, let.
I want to find out
why
does she
what?
Think it's
you know,
okay
I'm
for
sorry.
John Edwards to cheat on a woman
whenever,
who has cancer, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, I can't remember the guy's name now.
Schwarzenegger,
who couldn't say no to something. Catherine, you're not a man. That's the problem we're having. You're not a man.
He's not a man because he can't
something
say no.
Something walks in looking like
all
that?
He's being led around by his penis. That's all he is, right? So So that must be all he is. If that's all he answers,
for some women, that's enough.
All he is,
oh,
and
boy.
He's not a man. How's that? You know what? Every time someone comes up with a valid argument against what you're saying, all you can do is call people names. Well, I'm sorry. That is not acceptable.
I didn't call you a name. I said to Arnold Schwarzenegger, how do you say no to that?
How do you turn it on?
And then I said, how come John Edwards gets a pass?
Okay,
his wife had cancer.
All right, we've got the John Edwards thing out of control. Okay?
Oh, are you going to go into all of the sex scandals that the Republicans have?
I don't think it's funny.
No, she didn't say it was funny.
Completely humiliated Maria Shriver.
No, he didn't humiliate her.
That
she should have expected it. She knew it was coming.
That woman
she knew it was
living
coming.
In her what? House? For 14 years, having had Arnold's child when she was married to him, you don't
she
think...
She should have known when she left that into
saying,
the house.
Oh, I left on good terms. Well, guess what? She ain't on good terms anymore. Because I'm sorry, she lied to her employer. I mean, I'm sorry, but to live
how did she lie to the employer? All she did was she had sex with the man. That's not lying to him. The other one...
She's working two jobs.
She's working as the nanny and, forgive me, she's a slut to the husband. That's her other job, huh?
All right. And who do you think she had more? Oh, you know what?
She had two jobs, and she was being loyal. Loyal to the other employer, which was the
and,
sex
right.
job.
And where was Arnold's loyalty to Maria? Where is...
I think he loves her, and to this day, because I know Arnold, he loves her.
He worships the ground she walks on, but she knows that she is skinny, and
when that came in, it came
where
in, and he
you
said,
know what?
okay,
are
I got
to
get
married?
Some of that.
Are you,
who, me?
No, Larry, are you married? And have you,
who,
how long have you been married to? And I, you know what? I would probably say to
how
your
long
wife,
have I been married
she
to?
She better get herself checked too, because if this is your moral compass, then your wife had better get herself checked for
diseases
too.
My wife is perfectly fine with it. My wife understands.
Right.
Like all real women, she understands.
I don't care.
She's okay with me cheating with a woman like that that's big.
So you're saying that you're cheating on your wife.
What are you talking about?
Your wife is absolutely fine about that.
No, she's not. She's only fine if it's with something that looks like that. That's what I was trying to say.
Are you kidding me?
You're trying to say
me?
What?
Did you even hear yourself talking? Do you even hear what
you're saying? Excuse me, you asked me a question, I gave you an answer.
I'm sorry.
My wife...
Do you even hear yourself?
Well,
you
take
are,
it easy. It sounds like you need a paper bag.
Your morality is zero.
Ma'am, I'm simply telling you that my wife understands. I don't think she likes it, but she understands if something like that came through the door.
Will you stop talking about that woman, about something like that, and you can't say no to that? That's a woman.
You know, and I'll tell you something. That woman also has a morality problem. Because she came into that household. That was a married couple. She turned around. Maybe,
a married couple or a married couple? What are you saying? A Mary has an M-A-R-R-Y?
No, married.
M-A-R-R-I-E-D. Married.
No, you said they're all Mary and Jolly.
They had a commitment to each other. Yes.
All right.
I don't know who made the point. I'm telling you now that my wife is fine.
She's not fine, but she understands if something got into the middle of a marriage.
And she has a morality problem too.
No question about it, Catherine.
Maybe her, what she wanted was what she got in the end.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you for the call. She got a house out of it. She got a kid out of it.
Exactly.
You'll never stop her.
Forever from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She does. No question.
Until that child turns 18.
Yeah,
right.
I think Maria Shriver and Arnold will be back together again, and she'll say to
him,
you know what, Arnold, I understand, and when something like that comes to the back door, how can you say no? And I think that's a question that you need to say. And
all right, fine. We got the point. And I think that what you are not doing successfully here is you're not explaining the moral point that I talked about at the beginning. Is this moral? Okay? 877-876-7445. Larry Grover and Phil Hendry here as we discuss Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver and, of course, this nanny that he had the affair with. And again, the fidelity issue, the loyalty issue. You know, I had lunch today with my dear stepdaughter, Catherine, who is now a freshman in college. And we were eating lunch, and she said to me, my generation is going to be so conservative when it comes to marriage because we saw you guys, and she's talking about me and you, Larry, and all of us baby boomers. She said, we saw you guys, and we saw how just not in touch you people are with marriage. And
well, and you put up with that? I would have slapped her face. And
she's a 19-year-old woman. I'm not going to slap her in the face, and I happen to agree with her.
You agree with that?
Yes, and especially listening to you, yes, I do. I do agree, and I hope they do go out and make something better of marriage than our generation has. And I think this is one of the reasons why guys like me support gay marriage, because they can't do worse.
You support gay marriage, and yet you call yourself a conservative. This is, to me, these are the real moral problems that we have. And
these are the real moral problems we have, not Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, I can't say no to that.
When she's walking in with a basket of laundry, the thing that I said to the...
When she's walking in with a basket of what?
Laundry.
When she's walking in with a basket of laundry, I can't say no to that.
Yes, and if you were a man who got out a little more among the real people, you'd understand what I was talking about.
All right, we're going to take a break so I can calm down. Our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, as we discuss with him the Arnold Schwarzenegger infidelity there with his nanny, as well as the state of affairs in his family. And, of course, importantly as well, not more importantly or most importantly, but at least important to Larry, the political future of Governor Schwarzenegger. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County as we continue to talk with Larry in the last segment here about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the affair with the housekeeper, the absolute devastation to his family, the end of his political career. I mean, Larry, you're talking about this like, oh, well, you know, we can pull this fat out of the fire. It's all good. And let's just step back from it. And you know, the governor will be back on his feet. How do you say no to that? I mean, you're using a lot of terms here. And you, again, ignore what the American people will think if the governor decides to get back into the political arena. In terms of the moral issue, okay? And we're not talking Hollywood now.
No, I know we're not talking Hollywood, and I know we are talking about the morality. I've tried to address the fact that a man of Arnold Schwarzenegger's standing, not just as governor of California, but already as a very famous man before he came into the possession of the office of governor, that Governor Schwarzenegger is still a man, and only he is a man who is going to make the same decisions any man makes, but it'll be of a higher caliber. So when Schwarzenegger makes the decision that, okay, I'm going for it, it's 12, 13 years into our marriage, and that is something that doesn't come along every day.
Are you talking about this nanny?
Yes, I'm talking about the nanny. You're talking about her like she's something frightening. I think you're just saying that. And
well, what do you think? Do you think she's Angelina Jolie?
No, I don't think she's Angelina Jolie. I think in the eyes of a lot of men, after 25 years with a real thin woman like Maria Shriver, she may be Anna Nicole Smith. And so the governor made a judgment call. And frankly, Phil, if it reflects on the kind of decisions he would make as a governor, which would be, all right, do I stick with the, you know, what I've had, or do I go for it with, you know, some of this prime, meat or, real estate.
And all right, let me take a phone call. 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Carol, hi, Carol, in Niagara Falls, New York. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Larry, the answer to your question, how do I say no to that?
Right.
You grow some integrity, and you think about what you're doing, and you quit listening to your, how old was Arnold when he did this? Was he 18 years old? Was he 16? No, he's a grown man.
No, he was 25 years into a marriage. He was 25 years in it.
He was 12 years into his marriage, and he was no spring chicken, okay?
It beats a man down, is what I'm saying.
What does?
Year in and year out, it'll beat a man down.
Beat a man down?
Yes.
He needs to grow. What is it? What do you want to do? Do you want men? You're trying to make excuses for men to cheat on their wives. Do you want them?
No, I'm not.
Do you want men to become closet polygamists or what? Here,
I don't want men to do anything. I'm saying that if you want to talk about women, I think you need to understand that after 12 years of just having that hammering you into the ground, and
what are you talking about, marriage?
It's some marriages, yes.
What about 12 years of her living with him? Was she getting sick of him yet? Is it all right for her to go out and, go for something a little not as much?
They had children.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi, is that Larry Grover, like, still from Sesame Street or something that doesn't know what he's saying? I can't believe it.
Well, at least I'm not in Akron, Ohio.
Actually, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm very, very proud of it. Where are you from?
You're in Akron.
No, I'm not, really.
Yes, you are, yeah.
All right, we've got that settled, okay?
Let me just say what I'd like to say.
Go ahead, Cleveland.
First of all, I really don't care.
I don't like women laughing at me. I don't like women laughing at me. I just...
Okay.
You got issues. You've severe ones.
I got issues. I got issues. What is that? I got issues. You said issues.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
You know,
Larry,
can I continue?
Go ahead,
Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell us what your issue is.
Issue, I-S-S-U-E. Go get your ears cleaned. You're probably too busy looking at TNA all the time. Good Lord. What I was going to say was I really don't care what politicians do in their sex lives. I don't. It's none of our business. But I have an issue with Larry's saying and how he is perceiving women and marriage and relationships.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been married, Larry?
I would say the following thing.
How long have you been married?
12 years.
12 years?
I'm not married.
Oh, that's why you're being such a pig about it, right?
All right, I tell you what.
You don't even know what
a married...
married
if you'll tell me how much you weigh. Okay, ready, set, tell the truth. How much do you weigh, and I'll tell you how many years I've been married. One,
I weigh
two,
162
three.
Pounds. That's what I weigh.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What it means.
All right. Thank you, Kathy, for your perspective. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry, I appreciate you being with us.
Well, that woman's got some nerve, 160 pounds.
I thought that's something you can't say no to.
Well, that's true.
Phil Hendry.
forgot.